listeners supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, January 16th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunathchi. Shawa Toraksik Nusam Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, I'm joined by co-host Christina Love, and we talk with organizers from the Tlingit and Haida Community Advocacy Program and the Alaska Native Justice Center about the upcoming human trafficking and MMIP sessions happening on February 3rd and 4th. And Monday is Martin Luther King Holiday Day, and the Alaska Bar Association and its partners will host a free legal services event at the Diamond Courthouse from 9 to 1. We find out more from Ben Hoffmeister later in the hour. Those conversations plus Tongass Voices coming up on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. The word this week is yun.
Yun.
That means hemlock. And here's a sentence.
Yun at kahi tlinukt.
Hemlock sap is sweet, and it is collected for medicine too. Let's hear it again.
Yen.
Hemlock. Gunesh Chish Tuchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yen Yedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the children of the Taku Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yitin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kak, gunish cheesh.
You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. I'm joined today by my special co-host for the day, Christina Love, who sits on the U.S. Advisory Council on Human Trafficking. Christina lives here in Juneau and is a frequent collaborator here on Juno Afternoon. Gunath Cheesh, Christina. Hi, can you introduce yourself for us today?
Yes. Skoyana Gunashishawa. My name is Christina Love, and my family's from Igigik Village, located in the Bristol Bay region. I grew up in the village of Chitna on Athabaskan land, and today I live on Linkitani, Datsakahini. Super, super grateful to be here. I always have a blast with you, Boston, so I'm really excited about today's conversation.
Well, when this topic came up, and I instantly thought of you and said, well, we have to have you in to help co-host this and talk about that. And we are joined by two guests today, Natasha Jackson, who is the community advocate with Tlingit and Haida, and from the Alaska Native Justice Center, we have Delaney McLaughlin. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'i Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. Wasi'iti, how's it going, Natasha?
Good, very good.
Can you introduce yourself for us and tell us what you do at Tlingit and Haida?
Oh, yeah. My name is Natasha Jackson. My Tlingit name is Yachtlahat. I come from Kikwan, which is Cake, Alaska. And I've been doing this program for this coming up year will be 4 years. And so we work with everybody, anybody that's been a victim of crime. And so we help them in tribal court, state court, and we support them however they need us to hold them up, hold space for them, as they're going through their traumas.
That's fantastic. And you are speaking of the community advocacy program, which is what you run at Tlingit and Haida, which is awesome. That's so cool. And Delaney McLaughlin, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do at the Alaska Native Justice Center?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so excited to be here. So my name is Delaney McLaughlin. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm a little bit far from home, but I moved up to Anchorage in 2021 and have been working to support survivors of human trafficking ever since, and also working to survive, but mostly to provide support for survivors. The Alaska Native Justice Center, which is where I work now, I'm the education and outreach facilitator, provides comprehensive legal and advocacy services for survivors of crime. So we support survivors of domestic violence, human trafficking, sexual assault, kind of the whole breadth of gender-based violence we can help support. We have a team of really awesome lawyers as well as a really awesome team of advocates that provide a unique collaboration in order to help support survivors. My role is not to do that at the moment. Mostly I do a lot of education and outreach and different trainings. And I am just the luckiest person ever because I get to work with Natasha and help collaborate on some super unique and exciting projects.
That's awesome. Well, Gwyneth Cheese for being here. So we are talking about the upcoming sessions on February 3rd and 4th at Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. On Monday, February 3rd, starting at 8:30 p.m., is a learning session on human trafficking. And on Tuesday, February 4th, starting at 8 a.m., is a session, it's an awareness session on MMIP. And we're going to be talking about both those sessions today. We want to find out about what is human trafficking, how these sessions came about, and who should attend, and all of that kind of stuff, and what's on the schedule and the program. It's jam-packed because I told you the starting times, but it goes all day till 5 p.m. both of those days. And I think you're probably going to be able to come and go. We'll talk a little bit about that and the various different things and where you can find out more information. But Christina, thank you so much for coming in. It'd be great because you are on the U.S. Advisory Council for Human Trafficking. Can we start with sort of like the basics of what is human trafficking in this particular context?
Yeah, and I love that, you know, that what we're talking about, we've got two services that are really rooted in gender-based violence. And when we bring in the conversation of missing and murdered, that gives us a little bit more. What we talk about is like race-based violence, that and that's such an important thing because when you understand the dynamics of domestic violence, that it's about power and control. It's about tactics of violence that are used to control and manipulate your partner. And when you understand what those tactics are, and that it is really rooted in about power and control, that really helps you to understand what human trafficking is, human trafficking, labor trafficking, sex trafficking, that it essentially is. There's the criminal aspect of it, and the definition that we would use to prosecute. But really, for the everyday listener, it's about understanding how one human being can exert power over another human being through emotional, psychological, physical, financial, and sexual harm through force or coercion or manipulation. And sometimes that doesn't even include physical violence. It's just the threat of violence. And it's a process that for some people can be very, very gradual. It's very important to understand that individuals themselves are groomed, as well as entire communities, entire workplaces, entire families are groomed. That you might see somebody who's done some of the most horrific crimes you'd ever think of, and you might say, that's a good person. I go to church with that person. I work with that person. Or maybe they themselves were in a relationship with that person, but they didn't have the same thing happen to them. So it is, in the long sense, it becomes this eroding of dignity, of your confidence, of who you are as a human being, that it systematically dehumanizes you to a place where then they can exploit them. They can exploit them for labor. They can exploit them for sex. They can exploit them for all kinds of other reason. And it's essentially taking the body and using it as currency. And I think that is probably the better definition rather than getting into some of like the legal jargon of what would be needed, because prosecution is so incredibly hard, especially here in the state of Alaska, where the proof of burden is really tremendous.
Yeah, it seems like it's a term that is encompassing a lot, right?
Yes.
It's like it's all different. areas and things, and one person's idea might be completely different in somebody else's head.
Yeah,
right?
And one person's experience totally right. different than another person's. One person's experience might include the use of drugs, whether that was facilitated, whether they were wanting to participate in drugs or not, which we call substance use coercion. We see this a lot with people who have mental health issues, that they are, rather than using the word vulnerable, we use the word targeted, that oftentimes they go after people who are missing basic needs. So I've heard of I've worked with people who've been trafficked because they didn't have a ride to work, and someone saw them walking and was like, "Hey, you need a ride?" Mm. Actually, what they said was, "You're too beautiful to be walking." And she said, "You know what? You're right. I am too beautiful to be walking." But that was the doorway in as of food, housing. I've worked with a lot of teens who were kicked out of their house, who ran away from home because there were violence, because there was violence in the home or some other issues in the home. And they just needed their basic needs to be met. They needed food. They needed shelter.
Okay. So, Natasha, how did this particular event come about, these two sessions?
When I first started in 2023 in Tribal Assembly, some delegates brought up some concerns around human trafficking. And so I kept that at the back of my mind as I was going and meeting. I was like building up partnership in the victim services community. And it was actually Alaska Native Justice that was like, "Hey, why don't you do a human trafficking event?" And I was like, "Really? Like, how do you do that?"
Right.
And so it was really... I had so much support as I was going along and meeting the partners, and then they eventually referred me to the FBI, Erin Terry, and that's how, and then she referred me to Josie, and then, so it was like a beautiful, you know, they just are so supportive when you're trying to do this work, especially with this horrific crime. We really want... we really want awareness around this. I had talked to Homeland Security quite a few months ago, and they said there was over 100 cases in Southeast of digital trafficking. So that really, in my back of my mind again, I kept that. And then it was actually Delaney outreached me. I think it was at the end of summer, and she was like, "You know, we had a region drop out. You know, are you interested in this project?" And it was surveying our region for human trafficking. And I was very excited about that opportunity. And then we just started to do this. Like, it just got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's nice. And Josie, you mentioned, is your partner on the U.S. Advisory Council, right, Christina?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she's one of my colleagues on the chair. But Natasha, I have to say, I was just with AWARE. I was running from another thing here, and Swarupa and AWARE spoke so highly of you. I told them that I was coming to be with you, and they said that you are so wonderful, that you have such a great fire and passion, and they said that you have been doing so much to work with them lately, and you've helped so many people. And I think that I think it's important to give people compliments, and that you should know that people think so highly of you and the work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina. That means a great deal when you're doing such heavy work around these topics. It can be very, sometimes it's, you know, because it's so heavy. But you know what, I think kept Delaney and myself, we just kept thinking, you know, like, this would be so great if we can get this awareness out and really see where our region was, as far as you know, we just think it's so important to. I think, you know, as you were talking about the domestic violence of, and I feel like it's so important to talk about, because I think people can process it, but. There's at a certain point where they stop.
Yeah, because it seems so big and so overwhelming. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that you guys are doing that survey, because what I've heard from a lot of rural communities, even here in Juneau, is that people would say, "We don't have that here." We don't have that problem here. When I know that I've worked with many people from the surrounding villages or here in Juneau that have been trafficked, we have labor trafficking, we have sex trafficking, and then you were talking about digital trafficking, which is another type of trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what digital trafficking is?
It's like internet, you know, people giving you an idea of making you think that they're somebody that they're not. They convince you to come to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm.
So it's like something that would start over like an instant messenger or through Instagram or something, and they groom the person, or and then they say, hey,
on Roblox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going after
on Roblox.
They're going after our kids. And again, they're targeting people or children. In this case, it's a lot of children, not just children, but that are not happy with their home situation, and they're promising them something that is very that's not going to happen. That doesn't happen. That they would have a modeling career, or that they would have a nice place to live, or there would be the promise that they're going to meet somebody famous, or that they're going to travel around the world, that they're going to buy them things and take them shopping. I've seen all kinds of different things.
Yeah, it's really, I'm shocked at, you know, that about the numbers, you know. Yeah.
Did you guys get the report back? Do you have the numbers for the area?
We're what we're advertising is please take our survey.
Okay. Where can people take the survey?
Delaney.
Yeah, I can jump in on that a little bit. So the survey that Natasha is referring to is a part of this giant project of a community needs assessment. This is a project that we got with one of our grants a couple of years ago, and due to staffing, it kind of was put on pause. Until they hired me and they said, Delaney, do this community needs assessment, go. And I said, okay, sounds good, let's go. And then I called up Natasha and I said, hey, Natasha, you want to do this thing? And from there, it kind of evolved into what we're looking at with the Juneau, with the Southeast region specifically, is a general understanding of what people think trafficking is. And what they think it looks like, you know, because we know that trafficking, there's a ton of misinformation and misunderstanding of what trafficking actually is versus like what we see in the media. And so we're taking a multidisciplinary approach. So we're taking a survey approach, which is geared towards the general public. And those are asking questions about what you know about trafficking and where you think trafficking happens. And that survey can be accessed. I could send you a link. I can send you a QR code. I can give it to you in paper. Any way that you want the survey, I have it. So you let me know what's best for you, and we can make that happen. At the conference, it's going to be in QR code form and in paper form, I believe. And then also, in addition to the survey, I will be scheduling interviews with a bunch of social service agencies within the Southeast region. So I'm extending my time in Juneau when I go in February to schedule out some of those meetings. And Natasha has been absolutely fantastic. I think she sent me 60 or like 80 people to get in touch with to schedule those meetings. And those interviews will be based on the services available to survivors, the gaps in services that we have in that area, and the barriers to accessing services. And this project is a part of a bigger project. So I'm doing a similar study in Anchorage and then also on the Aleutian Chain in the Dutch Harbor area. Each one kind of has their own personality to it, each survey, each direction, but the Juneau one is kind of focused in that.
If you send me a link, Delaney, I can make sure to post it on the web post for this particular episode for those who are listening. We're talking about the upcoming sessions on human trafficking and MMIP awareness that are going to be happening on February 3rd and February 4th. And for more information, I want to find out from Natasha, where do people go to find out information? And they just basically go to ClinkitNahida.gov and they'll find the information?
If they go on Facebook, they will find our flyer, and then our Eventbrite has a link. They put the link there and they could register for our event.
Okay. And what's the cost for the event?
It's free. It's open to the community. It's open to our region, you know, far reach, to the whole state, really, because I have some people from the Yukon that are interested, and people from Unalaska and Bristol Bay. So we really want everybody to tune in, and please register, because this event is for you. This is for you to learn about the agencies, the resources. We have a really full agenda on MMIP, and I just really want somebody, if you come to our event, please share what you know, because I just want everybody to know how, you know, if somebody goes missing, this is what you do. If you were trafficked, this is who you could call. And I think just getting our conversations, you know, to where they're, you know, it's you know, even if you want to talk, you know, we'll have a lot of resources at our event, and we'll have CBS Healing Center there. The clinicians will be on standby. Christina Love and Josie will be opening us up on human trafficking. So, and so we're really hoping that we get good numbers for Delaney's, the survey that she's doing, because it just is a really good collaboration between all of the agencies.
Nice. And I want to mention, too, that there's virtual options available. So if you can't be here in person in Juneau at the Elizabeth Paratrowich Hall, that's okay. And there's also a couple tiny URLs, tinyurl.com/thtraffic. That's thtraffic, to register for Monday, and then tinyurl.com/thmmip to register for Tuesday. Or, as Natasha said, go to Facebook. Usually yeah. Facebook is the easiest thing. Search for it, and then you'll find the links there as well. But I'll also include those on the webpage for today.
Well, yeah. And most importantly, what are you going to feed us? If you come in person, there will be food.
Yeah, definitely. There'll be snacks, coffee, you know.
Clinkett and Ida always feeds us so well. You should know that they pull out all the stops. So it's going to be a full banquet style.
Yeah, we're very excited to have all these agencies in here, and Ingrid Goodyear will be facilitating both events for us. And so we're really excited about, the BIA is coming in. So the MMIP out of Vancouver, it's just like action packed. I couldn't even believe when I think we were first looking at the time of everything. I was like, how are we going to fit all this in there?
But you did it. And it's beautiful. Yeah. The agenda is gorgeous. The flyer is beautiful. And you have the best people that you're bringing in. I'm really excited for our community. I've loved working with Josie on the council. She's just, she's very rooted in culture. She's so brilliant, very honorable. I mean, there's so many incredible people that are on here. And I'm really excited to see what you guys get from the survey. I'm curious to see what people think. Mm-hmm. I think something that's interesting is that the majority of people that I've worked with who have experienced trafficking would not say that they were trafficked. They would not use language like that. So I think that people who come and then listen and participate, I really want you to understand some of the ways that harm shows up in our community, because especially in our school, there are some things that that children and adolescents experience that almost sets them up for more harm. So we have to understand that people who experience violence, when violence becomes so normalized, then that is what makes them targeted for other violence. And as well as, you know, some of the solutions. I know I've worked with a school here with a student who was experiencing trafficking, and she had been given substances. And the school had called me because she was under the influence, and they wanted to send her home. And I had to explain that horrible harm had happened to her, and she came to the place where she felt safe. So this is for schools, this is for medical providers, this is for businesses, so that we can flag harm, but then also know how to respond in a way that won't push people further into, you know, areas where we can't reach them or we can't hear what's happening.
Right. This is great, because I wanted to mention this in terms of who should attend, right? So
everybody.
Natasha, you think everybody should attend.
Oh, yes.
And you don't, just to make sure people know, we mentioned that it's going from like 8:30 or 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You don't have to be there for the whole time, right? If there's certain, because some people may have obligations or whatnot. So they can come and go?
Yeah, they could definitely come and go.
Okay.
We just want everybody to come in and, you know, if you feel comfortable, stay for the whole thing. If you don't feel comfortable, just come in, listen and see, you know. And like I said, we're I will have a lot of resources of where we'll be tabling with us. And NAMI is tabling, Alaska Native Justice, Alaska Women's Resource Center is going to be coming. And so I have a lot of agencies. We'll have a lot of good. I spoke to Strong Hearts Native Helpline.
Yeah.
And they sent me some swag. And there was a really neat palm card they did on domestic violence and sexual violence, and they sent me some for the event, so I'm very excited to have these resources. And we have resources on human trafficking, and so we have a good, I feel like we have a, you know, a really full 2 days.
It's a full agenda for sure.
Yes.
Delaney, I wanted to ask you a question about we've talked a little bit about it. We talked a little bit about sort of the digital space. We talked a little bit about, you know, Christina mentioned somebody was just walking down the street. But where do you see the most, I guess, where, I want to say danger, but it's like, where's the most, or what should we be on the lookout for? What are signs that people could be looking for that if they have a child, if they have, you know, if they have a partner or a spouse or a friend who they might see signs that the friend or the child isn't seeing in some of these areas, what kind of things should people be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I think that when we're talking about trafficking and we're talking about like how it looks and what it can look like, it's so, so difficult because there's not just one singular way, right? I think that when you're talking, so my professional experience prior to being at ANJC, I was a case manager for survivors of trafficking at the youth homeless shelter in Anchorage, which is how I got to know Josie. And in that environment, a lot of what we noticed were traffickers were preying on the unmet needs, you know, like kind of what Christina was saying earlier. I just want to echo what she was saying. It's, that is what we noticed the most, is that when there is an unmet need, whether that be unstable housing, a substance use issue, like the need for love and support and safety and security. If any of those things are not being met, somebody like a trafficker could target them and swoop in and meet that need. And so I think when talking to somebody that you're concerned is being trafficked, something to, a way that you can help them is just to support them in what they need in that moment, you know? Like Christina said, also traffic, a lot of times people that are experiencing trafficking or have experienced trafficking, they don't recognize themselves. They don't use that language or that verbiage. And so when I was working with survivors, even sometimes they didn't meet, like I was one time working under a trafficking housing specific grant where my job was to help house survivors in independent housing. And I was sitting down with them and being like, this is what this grant is. You qualify. And they're like, I qualify for that grant. And nobody had had a conversation with them of what trafficking was. And they were meeting with me at this point. And so I think like there's a sticker shock associated with the word trafficking. And so I think it's really important to step away from that and just get to know the person, get to know what they need, and then work towards helping them with that.
I see. And just to clarify for myself and for those who, when you hear that, I think when we hear it in the zeitgeist, we always think of it as trafficking as somebody's being taken from one place to another. But it doesn't always necessarily mean that, right? It could be, you could be trafficked and still live in your town.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be, we see a lot of what we call familiar trafficking, and that's within the family. So that could be a mom, that could be a dad, that could be an uncle, that could be a brother, that could be a sister, that could be a cousin that is exploiting that person's body for labor or for sex. And then again, it goes back to all of those methods. And I have to say, it's the exact same. I have adults, I have elders that I have worked with that through education come to realize that what happened to them was sexual assault. That they would not have called it that. That what happened to them was domestic violence. And we see the exact same thing with trafficking. And especially, I think one of the things that makes it really complicated is because of some of the worst parts of addiction or mental health come from society's reaction to that, when really what we have to understand as a community is that people's behavior tells a story when they're not able to. So children who, some of the children who are acting out, who then get kicked out of school and they get kicked out of their places, like that is an indication that there is harm that's happening. But when we don't have the language, we don't have the skill set or the education to work with them, people who prey on that, they see that. And they benefit from that. So we watch people fall through the cracks long before they go through the cracks. So to go back to your original question, like the highest rates of lethality come from our missing and our murdered, who are people who are struggling with substances, who are people experiencing poverty, mental health, incarceration. One of the biggest pipelines of trafficking is incarceration, from juvenile to into those systems. Or later on in adulthood. So we already have populations of people. And if you don't have the ability to see beyond what is happening, to see beyond their addiction or their mental health, then we end up missing some of these really important things that would help them actually get out of those situations.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. We're talking about the upcoming Tlingit and Haida Human Trafficking Awareness and MMIP Awareness sessions on February 3rd and February 4th. For more information, the best place to go is Facebook and search for those on Tlingit and Haida's page, and you can register. It's free. They go all day, and there's also virtual options available. And Christina, you brought up my next point, which I wanted to just double check in with Natasha. And we've been talking a lot about the Human Trafficking Day. Let's talk a little bit about the MMIP Day. I know you said it's also a very full agenda, and because they are sort of inextricably linked, right? Sort of a lot of times it ends up that a person who is trafficked is MMIP, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a really loaded day. We're like,
yeah.
We have the Alaska State Troopers, the MMIP investigators will be presenting, public safety teenagers. Rhonda Butler will be presenting. The BIA Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples Unit, and they are bringing their victim assistance. Alaska Women Native Resource Center, Alaska Native Justice Center, Crimes Victims Compensation Board, so you could learn about do you qualify for that if you're a victim. So we have the attorney in the OVR office. He'll be doing a little presentation. And then we look to our local agencies for like search and rescue, Juno Mountain Rescue, the Sea Dogs will be coming, and Team Adam, the NAMIS, the Missing and Murdered database. They'll be doing a little presentation on that, the Tribal Access Program. And then the Q&A panel is really loaded with, it's just, we're going to foster a discussion about how do these agencies work together, and just focus that dialogue on, because I don't think we get to see the amazing work that these agencies do, and it's a lot of work being done on, and that's what most impacted me when I first met Ingrid Goodyear. I would like come away with 10 pages of notes every time I talked to her, and I felt like I've gotten a degree in MMIP in the last year, because I just was like so fascinated with, oh my gosh, they're doing so much work. They're coming up with tribal response plans. They've put positions into public safety. for specifically MMIP. And so I just was blown away that all of this work is being done, and I think the public should know about it. And I think it gets us help sooner if we know somebody is missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a good point there, and we've been talking about this. And I know sometimes people hear, oh, it's being put on by Tlingit and Haida, it's for members only, but that's not true. It's for the entire community. It affects the entire community, and this is just great work that you all are putting together these couple of days to make this happen. And so I'm curious, Natasha, what is your hope for the future?
I often think about what would our community look like? What would a healthy community look like? What would a healthier, you know, because we do a lot of community work. And I think, like, getting all of us to work together, and what I've really been trying to do is get out of my silo and really partner up with. And I feel like some of our best work comes that way. I don't know if I told you guys, we, with Jammy, with Christy Doyon in community advocacy, we got together with all the mental health case managers, and we were talking about the gaps we were seeing. And I was like, man, we really need, and they were like, we need a resource meeting, you know, and that's, you know, we just had it, like, I think it was last week, and there were 60 agencies that showed up. And it just is so, you know, it's when you show up and you start talking about these gaps that you're seeing, like, and these are systematic gaps. And I just keep thinking that if we work together and we, you know, we voice it to the right people, I really hope that we could get more mental health, you know, more. And, you know, the Tribal Assembly really is heavily on their mind about the fentanyl crisis. And that was Resolution 2412 last year. And that was community advocacy's call to action, was we really need to get this out in the open and really try to see if we can, you know, we could really advocate for especially people with disabilities. Like Christina was saying, those are our most vulnerable people. We don't want them to be re-victimized and re-victimized. We're trying to change that. We're trying to get them the help they need and, you know, try to offer them that support so that they are safe. They have a safe place to go. They feel grounded. They feel supported. And just having that conversation, what this is trauma that you're going through. And a lot of them, they don't know that's trauma. And it's a hard conversation, but I've seen such amazing, I can't even tell you some of the things that I've been so amazed at. But, you know, these programs really can be life-changing for some people. And so I just, and I'm also on the Glory Hall board. So and these are tough issues, you know, like homelessness, substance abuse, mental health, and it's all integrated. And then the human trafficking, I think, is the most horrific crime. And then you see it intersect with MMIP. And so we're really trying to get awareness out there. And because we're trying to, you know, we don't want this violence to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find out more about the Tlingit and Haida Community Advocacy Program at tlingitandhaida.gov or on Facebook, as we mentioned. Delaney, where can we find out more about the Alaska Native Justice Center?
Yeah, you can find out more at anjc.net, would be your main point of contact. We're also on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. But I would not choose LinkedIn if I were you.
Okay. Well, it's been such an honor and a pleasure. And Christina, I just wanted to throw it to you. Do you have any last thoughts or words?
I would say, you know, if you're somebody who has been in this field for a long time, this is still for you. If you are, if you don't know anything about any of this, this is for you. And I think I'll say that for myself as a victim of domestic violence, sexual assault, and trafficking, one of the most important parts of my healing has been the education, has been normalizing some of the things that some of the ways that I've responded to that violence. So that is, it's been really, really important so that I could have that self-compassion so that I could heal. And that helped me to see other people where they are and understand that people do the very best they can until they know another way, and that there's nothing wrong with a lot of people, that there are things that are missing for them, and that might mean healing services, that might mean basic needs, that might mean community or acceptance and understanding. And so that's one of the most important things that I think that as a community that we could give one another, that we assume positively about each other, and that we look a little bit deeper beyond what's happening with less blame and less division to really understand that we have a lot of great things going for us as a community, and there's a lot of resources, and there's a lot of incredible people in this community, and I'd love to see the people who are struggling get connected to that. But it really, like, I get to be here because another person saw me as a whole person and treated me as a whole person, really looked me in the eye and didn't judge me. And I want everybody to be able to have that gift, as well as to be able to give that to other community members. So I hope you'll join us. We're going to have a lot more conversations like this. And then there'll also be some in-between time where you can get to know one another. And that's really important for community as well, that we have events that bring us together.
Yeah, it's really a 2-day, you know, conference to hear each other and to see each other. And as Natasha said, to bring awareness to the community, and it's really something that affects everyone. And so you can find out more. It is the Tlingit and Haida Human Trafficking Awareness Learning Session on February 3rd. It starts at 8:30 in the morning at Elizabeth Perachevich Hall. You can find out more on Facebook or go to tinyurl.com/thtraffic. Or on Tuesday, February 4th, the MMIP Awareness Session starts at 8 a.m., also at Elizabeth Perachevich Hall. There is virtual options available, and you can also go to tinyurl.thmmip or Facebook and search this event, and you will be able to find that information. It's going to be raising awareness on human trafficking, MMIP. There's going to be talking circles, connection with community resources, and panel discussions. I really appreciate you all coming in today, and for Delaney joining us from Anchorage. We'll see you here in a couple weeks, Delaney. Gunath Cheesh for being here today, and really appreciate you all talking about this, and Natasha for putting this whole thing together and making it happen.
Thank you. I have to give a shout out to Dr. Woods and my supervisor, Jessica. They have been so supportive, and my advocate, Vivian Demmert, she has been amazing. I just, and we're just this small little department, but I just feel like the support, you know, once it just like, it just, everybody is so supportive, and we couldn't do this without you.
Shout out mentors and supervisors, right? Yes. Absolutely. All right, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. Up next is Tonga's Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Akwan and Beyond. You may have noticed the eye-catching display of bits and bobbins, stuffed animals, beads, and soccer balls at the Douglas Library. And that's what it's for, to be looked at. There's a list at the bottom that says things like, find 10 ladybugs. Librarian Melinda Sankam created the iSpy inspired collection nearly 2 years ago and has been adding to it ever since.
People are surprised by it. They come upon it when they're waiting for something. You know, we can't have food in the library, but you can enjoy snacks in the lobby. So often people will be munching on a little snack out here, and they engage with the iSpy display. People will be coming into our meeting room to use it, and so they discover the iSpy display or the Friends of the Library books that are available or the free magazines to pick up. And so it's just kind of in passing through, but I really do find that people get interested in finding that, either looking for something on the list or they just spy something that they recognize. I'm Melinda Sandkam, and I'm the outreach librarian with Juneau Public Libraries. So I was inspired by seeing I Spy displays in libraries and other locations. When I completed my degree and was exploring neighborhoods in the Pacific Northwest to move, I visited over 150 libraries in Washington and Oregon. And so I saw I Spy. Sometimes they were in a smaller setting like an aquarium or a big glass case. So it's just a great engagement in the library. But I also saw the display at the Alaska State Museum, and they have a board where things are attached or glued to. And so those were inspirations to filling this case with something to engage the community. The very first thing I did was put out an ask to all our staff, because we have some really creative librarians, and just did they have any miscellaneous things sitting around. That was where we got our Elvis in the purple sequin suit was from a staff member, and then we just collected things. Then I started looking in yard sales, and here in Juneau there's all the piles of free stuff. And so I always keep an eye out there. I just picked up two pine cones last night in someone's bucket of free stuff. But I'm also looking for literary things. So I recently found a Clifford the Big Red Dog. I found another panda, and I knew I had pandas. So I just keep an eye out for things that will have the literary theme or that will make it two or three or multiple items. I came from an education background. I was a preschool director most recently before becoming a librarian. And so you see at that early age how people engage in different ways. Some engage kinesthetically, and some engage through literature, and some engage with a math background. Some engage very physically, like building things, manipulatives. So this is definitely a engagement with the mind of looking for small and big. That can be with, like, we have a very big Eeyore and a very small Eeyore. Those are some of the most difficult ones to find, or you'll say three Poohs, but the Poohs are all different shapes and sizes. And so that can engage very young ones. There's a lot of color. There's a lot of characters that they might know. So it is just that color, shape, sizes, themes, animals. They're like, we have a crocodile, we have frogs, we have ladybugs, dinosaurs. And so those are all things that may engage many different people.
That was librarian Melinda Sandkam talking about the Douglas Library's I Spy display. Up next this Monday, Martin Luther King Day, free legal advice sessions will be available. We'll get all the details and what you need to know. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher, and I'm here with my special co-host today, Christina Love. Gwyneth Cheese, Christina.
Koyana, super grateful to be here.
And we are joined now by Ben Hoffmeister. Ben, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, my name is Ben. I'm a lawyer. I work here in Juneau. I've been a bar member with the statewide Alaska Bar Association since 2001. And currently, I'm also an officer with the local bar association here, the Juneau Bar Association.
Awesome. And so this Monday on Martin Luther King holiday, the Alaska Bar Association and its partners will host a free legal advice help session at the Diamond Courthouse. I'm just getting all these details out of the way. It'll be from 9 to 1 p.m. And it's been something that's been going on for years, right?
Yes, 16 years. This is our 16th year. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been going for a while now.
And it happens not only in Juneau, but it happens around the state as well.
Yeah. The first time when it first started, it was just in Anchorage, and it's moved to Fairbanks, to Juneau. And now actually we have attorneys that go out to Bethel and help out there as well.
So. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, like what kind of – now this is – is there any – I think it says something on the flyer in the information. It's low-income – is who is eligible, or can anybody show up, or how do you qualify to show up for this thing?
Yeah, we don't go into a whole lot of detail in terms of qualifications, but essentially people that would qualify for services for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation, ALSC, are the same people that we would be talking to on Monday when they show up for consultation. So that's the type of folks that that need the help, that could use lawyers, that could that we want to provide that kind of service for.
I see. And is there any specific areas, or is it really just anybody who might have – do they have to be in the process anywhere? Do they just have to have an issue that they don't even know if it's like a legal thing?
Yeah. So it's interesting you mentioned that, because there's been a lot of data that's come out and a lot of academic work that's discussed what people in those types of situations, people that are facing the crushing kind of weight of poverty and the legal issues that impact that and add to that weight. I was just reading a statistic before I got here. I think that there's been studies that show that for every person out there trying to deal with food security or for housing or for public benefits, they have 2 to 3 legal problems, and sometimes they're not even able to articulate them. So that's what we're trying to do, is try to help people prioritize those problems and maybe try to come up with a game plan to move forward with these consultations.
Interesting, because Christina, we were just talking in our last session about human trafficking and MMIP and these areas. I guess people wouldn't even know if they have a legal – I mean, if it's somebody in that situation who would even not know what to do legally, right? They would be somebody who might want to show up for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, so primarily what we're talking about is people who can't afford attorneys. This is for them.
Yes.
But I think a lot of the cases is not so much criminal, but more civil cases, right?
Yeah, exactly. Criminal cases, there's a right under both the state and federal constitution to have an attorney. So we're not dealing with criminal cases. It's these civil cases. A lot of people just really don't think about that have an impact on these people on a regular basis. Things like public benefits, like landlord-tenant issues. We even have some trust and estates issue. We have one attorney in particular who works here in town who comes out, and seems like every year we get a question about wills or things of that nature.
Absolutely.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Disability benefits.
Disability benefits is another big one that we get.
So if you've been denied, a lot of people don't know that there is a process to appeal that. Mm-hmm. And that, or if you are a tenant and you're struggling with landlord issues, a lot of people don't know what their rights are. So this is also a great place to come. Maybe you don't have a concern, but you could learn a little bit more about what your basic human rights are.
Yeah, and I think that, again, prioritizing what you should be doing. A lot of people come in with a lot of different problems. Sometimes they're not legal. I also work with another organization that provides a hotline for legal services. And in fact, I was just volunteering this week. And oftentimes when people call in, they have a multitude of problems. And embedded in those might be some legal issues. But oftentimes it's just, how do I get from point A to point B? Because some of the struggles that people that are living with this kind of poverty can be overwhelming, and things that we don't think about on a day-to-day basis.
I love that you said prioritize, because something that would be a big priority to me, they might not even be concerned about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess when you think about, when you have so many things, like how do you, I guess recourse, like where's your recourse at, right? Like if you're living day-to-day, or if you're living in an apartment and the landlord's not fixing the issues, you may not even know what is your basic, like what your rights are as a tenant, right?
Right.
And that's the kind of thing I could learn at this event.
Yeah, and again, those people might be struggling with a whole lot of other things that are legal issues as well. I mean, they could also be at the same time dealing with a custody dispute or some kind of public benefit issue or anything like that. So trying to figure out what should be focused on first and how to move forward is what we're trying to do. And I guess you'd say, the attorney that came up with this idea, 16 years ago, Russ Winter, one of the ideas was to do it on this day because Martin Luther King's devotion to public service and justice were so intertwined, and it seemed like a day that our bar members should go out and fulfill that same kind of mission.
It helps too. I was thinking, oh, well, it's a holiday. It's also easier for people to go to something like this. But then a lot of people who are maybe in retail or maybe in an area they don't actually have the time off to go to this event from 9 to 1 on Monday. But if they don't, what's the other recourse that they might be? Where else could they find out information?
So Alaska Legal Services Corporation, is the ALSC, is probably the place to go to. So if they're unable to go there, then they can go that. I believe there might be some information on the Alaska Bar's website for those who can't make it in person. I think there might be some phone information they can call on a statewide basis. Not entirely sure about that, but I think that that's the case.
And I know you can find out information at alaskabar.org/MLK. That'll get you to sort of an information about these events. Right. There's also another website here, alaska.freelegalanswers.org, where you can post some questions. And then I know also that I found information on Facebook. All these events are listed there, and I think that was maybe the Alaska Bar Association's Facebook page, which is sort of listing these events and would have some of those resources linked there, I would assume.
Yes, and I'm glad you did that because I'm not a prolific Facebook user, and so I'm aware that those things exist. I just haven't looked at them. But yes, those are all places you can get that information and those resources.
Well, Juneau is a huge Facebook town.
Yeah. It's Alaska's. I tell people it is. Facebook is our internet.
Yeah, it's
for
it's
a lot of our rural communities,
where all of the events are, and all that kind of stuff. So, and so, how many? It's from 9 to 1 on Monday. And do you have to make an appointment? Do you have to? Do you just show up? How do I access this?
Yeah, so you just show up on the first floor of the courthouse. There, we'll have people that'll take some intake information and then bring you up to the jury assembly room up on the third floor, and we'll have a number of attorneys probably working in groups there and some other areas in the courthouse, and they'll meet with – you know, the idea is to meet – they're short consultations, so the idea is to meet around 20 minutes. If it takes, you know, longer, that's great. If it takes less time, that's great as well. But it looks like we'll have enough volunteers to, you know, answer a whole host of different questions from people that come in. So, yeah, just show up.
Basically show up. Kind of figure out what your issues are. You're going to help prioritize those, and then in that 20 minutes or so, you'll help them know what the next step might be, what they need to do next, or who they would need to contact.
Right. And you know, it could be, you know, they could be in the midst of a legal issue, like they were just served with a complaint in a divorce case. They want to know what the next step is, and so there's a lot of resources that we can actually point them to, and hopefully, if there's like a form that they need to file or you know a document that they need, we'll be able to just provide those for them as we kind of learn more about what their issue is.
I see. That's fantastic.
It's so great. And in the past, we had always partnered with some of the local providers because when we're offering services for divorce and custody, we always see domestic violence. Yeah. And people come in as they're disclosing more, so then trying to get them connected to other services as they're learning about their rights. And yeah, I think it's a wonderful resource, and I'm really grateful that it still exists.
So it's happening on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. It is going to be happening at the Diamond Courthouse, 123 F Street. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You don't have to register. You can just show up. They'll get a little information from you, and then you will get some free legal help with the issues that you might have. That is really great. Ben Hoffmeister, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this event that's happening on Monday.
Thank you for letting me come here and speak.
I really appreciate it. Gunath Cheesh. Christina, thank you so much for being a wonderful co-host today. I really appreciate you being here, as always.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, the 49 Writers Winter Words, plus a sneak peek at the upcoming Alaska Theater Festival radio plays. And we talk with Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone about what's ahead this legislative session. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Christina Love, and my special co-host, and Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a joyous Juno evening.